Ah, there we go. I can hear it now. What? You need me to speak up?
No, don't tell him.
Hallelujah. Odd was like, where'd I put my notes? There we go. Bacon? Bacon. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. And we're going to get after it. Father, thank you so much for the word this morning, Lord. I ask that you would use me to bring forth the messages you've prepared, and that it would be effective in changing lives, Lord God. I put myself aside right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I am going to use that picture. If you would please put that up. I saw this meme on the face of the book. I think it was shared from somebody here. It might have been Darlene. Now, I'm not beating you, I promise. But look at this. And it just simply says, if our churches had members with this kind of faithfulness and passion, we would change this world in no time. I believe that is, I think that's in Buffalo. I looked that picture up, actually. I'm pretty sure that's in Buffalo. Those are people underneath snow. They're watching a football game on a Sunday morning. Well, we can take that down. But how true is that? It's like if churches had members with this kind of faithfulness and passion. And we're all there, right? You guys know me. I'm bad with the... We can take the picture down. I don't want them to get a complex. They're here. But reality is, right? Now, there weren't 100 people there. There were probably 400, 500, 600, maybe thousands of people there to watch that game in the bitter cold, in the snow, buried underneath it. They waited in line to get into that stadium that morning to get this. You're assigned seating, so it's not like you get the best seats if you show up early. But you probably showed up early so you didn't have to wait in line so long, right? So once they opened those doors, you can get inside, warm up a little before you went and sat in the snow and let it cover you. You paid for it. An arm and a leg, I hear, football games this day and age. We all have those obsessions, right? We'll get into obsessions in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 5:18, we'll start in the King James. Oh, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Will you do the Amplified Classic really quick, please? The Amplified roughly says about the same thing, but in a lot more words. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Would you, let's do Message. The Message is kind of funny because it's situated down there a little bit, but I like the way it reads. Seems like we all have this in particular ministry. Okay. Well, I can read it. Yeah, well, maybe. Oh, it's hard to find on the... So right down there, it's we certainly don't look at him the way anymore. Now we look inside. It's fresh life. The old life is gone. Next. Relationship between us and him. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. Go ahead, would you do the Good News translation really quick, please? Telling the world what God is doing. And we're all together trying to accomplish one goal, and it is this. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us, the church, the task of making others his friends also. Amen. How do we do that? How can we, sinners, layman just means unlearned or not schooled or in, how could just Joe, who just came off the street, bring people to an understanding of Christ's friendship? A lot of that has to do with you're selling yourself short. You got to think, some people go, well, I was Clinton, and most of my friends, they still go to the bars. I was in the bar last week. Some of them be like, man, I don't know how to read that well. So they're down on themselves, right? And so this is what I would ask you. For a job, have you ever killed Christians? Was that ever any of your jobs, to kill Christians? The guy who brought Jesus to the world had a task and a duty to kill Christians. So why are you any less qualified because of the things that you've done than the man who was killing Christians because it was his job? See, he had an experience. He had a time where God appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him and changed his direction. Has Jesus not appeared to you and changed your direction?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Did he not call you to himself?
Yes.
Did he not show up in one of your most down times?
Yep. Amen.
And say, I love you? Tell somebody about it?
Amen.
If you think back, maybe you didn't have that awakening experience like Paul where you got scales over your eyes. Most of us haven't. That'd be kind of weird. But if you think back, you can probably pinpoint a time where Jesus showed up in your life and showed you his goodness. That alone, that's called a testimony. We should all have one. Some of them, maybe you think, well, I kind of don't really have a testimony, Clinton. I was growed up in the church. I didn't get into drugs or alcohol. I never did anything wrong. But you can ask my mom, right? Not my mom. She, don't ask my mom. I've bared my sins to y'all. I've told you. Well, I'll preach it.
Amen.
Maybe you don't have that ultimate testimony. You didn't stop drinking in the night. That's your testimony. God has kept me so happy and so content with his word and so just filled with his presence that I've never got into those things. That's an awesome testimony. Because the people that are drinking, the people that are on drugs, the people that can't seem to find their soulmate, even though they've tried everybody in the world, those people, they're constantly looking for that completion. They're looking to fill a void in their heart that can't be filled any other way but by Christ. And that's when Christ says, hey, I'm here. And he pulls them from that. And that's their testimony. But if you may think that you had a boring life, but your testimony is great. I tell you what, I've had more fun in the time since finding Christ, the time since serving Christ, than I ever did, or at least can remember doing, before that time. Let's be honest, because sometimes you just forget. If you've been a drinker or an addict of any sort, and you're into that behavior, and you think you had a good time, you can't remember anything but the hangover the next day. Or the time you spent in jail.
Amen.
But me, like me, well, I just have fun. I know sometimes I got that face. I get it. I'm working on it. But I have so much fun.
Amen.
Goofing around with the guys, the kids, the 12 some years that I spent in kids ministry, they were hard. But I can't think of a time where I had more fun serving God. Because I don't know if you know, kids, good day, bad day. Good lesson, bad lesson.
Amen.
They always find a way to have fun.
Amen.
Y'all not the same. Just so you know. Adults aren't the same. I've preached in other churches. Sometimes it's dry. People, and I'm not calling anybody out, but some people work late and they'd be like this in the pews, like this. And I get it. I'm not mad at them. But that's hard, right?
Amen.
And so even as where you're at now, maybe you're still caught in some of those sins. Maybe you still drink. I'm not nobody's sending you to hell for that. I'm not judging you for that.
Amen.
Continue working. Continue serving. Continue reading and praying.
Yeah. Amen.
God will set you free, I promise.
Amen.
Maybe that's not the freedom you're looking for, but it's the freedom you need.
Amen.
It really is. I know. I've been there. I have been there. Now, As a minister, Brother Clinton, you may think that, or like for Pastor Ricky, or for Heather, or Dr. Stephanie, or maybe you think that it's easy for us. God gave that gift to you. It's easy for you, Clinton. It just comes naturally. Yeah, I can talk, but public speaking has never been my strong suit. Never once. You get me in my cubicle, we're at the bank, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
Me and you together,
yeah.
You'll buy ice when it's like negative zero. I can sell you a campfire in the middle of summer when it's just me and you.
Yep.
But this thing was never my thing. Quiet and reserved in a group setting. That actually does come from my past. But it's not. Maybe you say, I don't read enough. I don't pray enough. I don't praise and worship enough. You can fix all that just by starting.
Yes.
You don't pray enough? Get up in the morning and pray. I had this conviction that I wasn't spending enough time in the Word. And so when I went to God and I'm like, God, how do I fix it? And he brought some things out. He's like, in the morning, the first thing you do when you wake up, this is what he brought out to me. You grab your phone and you look at it.
Come on.
And then with that comes all the different things.
Yeah. Yep.
Making sure that I don't have any posts I need to follow up on Facebook because that's so important. Making sure that I got all my dice rolls for Monopoly Go. If you're playing it, you understand. Checking all the stupid things that have no bearing. I said, yes, God, I do. He's like, go ahead and stop that. I was like, okay, not a problem. And so for about the last 3 or 4 months, might be three, closer to three, not four. In the morning, I wake up. I grab my 2 chewy multivitamins. I unwrap them as quietly as I possibly can. And it's not quiet. In fact, the bag that they're in is horribly loud in the morning. I go out. I yell at Hammer for waking me up so early. I let him out of his cage. I feed him and Gus so they'll leave me alone for 2 minutes. I sit down in my chair and I open my Bible.
Amen.
Every morning.
Yes.
Before the only thing I do with my phone in the morning is grab it and take it out there with me. That way the alarm will stop in case I snoozed it instead of turning it off, because nobody wants to wake up Heather when it's not time. Nobody. And so regardless, the minimum amount of that I will read in the morning is 2 chapters. The minimum. That is what God has set on my heart. And so I read the 2 chapters. every single morning. Generally, I'm done with this before Heather wakes up 30 minutes later. It doesn't take that much time to get in the Word first thing in the morning. I pray a little. I let the dogs out. If you know what I have to do with Hammer, I take care of that business. Because he wants to jump on me, and nobody needs that with his situation. But that it takes seeking God in those things.
Amen.
It takes going ahead and putting yourself aside and saying, God, I know I'm messing up in this area. What do I do? Because the reality is that we need to become students of the Word.
Amen.
Did you know? So I'm going to... Yes. Okay. So there's a group of people that walk door to door. You guys can guess who they are. And they had a name at one point, and they'll still say it to make themselves seem very intelligent. Uh-huh. And they are the Bible Students Association or Bible Scholars Association, right? Because that was the founding name of their group was that. And they'll come to people who proclaim to be Christians who have never spent more than a Sunday morning, now it may be every Sunday morning, in the Word. There are some religions that really, or sects of the Christian faith, that don't allow you to, they don't want you to read the Bible for yourself, save for two times in your life. One time for study, so you know what you're talking about, and one time during your while you're on your deathbed, so that you can have the comfort of the Lord. Good time to be in the Word, but you should be in the Word all the time.
Amen.
We have to become Bible students.
Amen.
That we're in perilous times. Ask anybody.
Yep.
Because everybody, if anybody has social media. All the I don't mean to call them kooks, but all the people that are kooky would have you to believe, no matter what, that this is the end.
Yeah.
Armies have surrounded Israel. Just so you know, armies have surrounded Israel since Israel began.
Yeah.
Okay? So just because armies surround Israel again doesn't mean it's the end. We should always be looking. Nope, we should not. We should always be praying to be counted worthy to escape the end. We should not be trying to be tea leaf readers and soothsayers and trying to foretell the end. Everything we need to know about the end is in the Bible, and so if we'll just listen to the Bible, if we'll read it, become students, we don't have to worry about the end, because when all that stuff happens, if we've done the right thing and we've prayed to God that we would be counted worthy to be skipped out of it, then we won't even have to be here. It doesn't matter. Why are we focused on it? Why are you buying 10,000 pounds of dehydrated food for something you're not going to experience? I'm doing my Christian duty, but you just spent $2,500 on dehydrated food instead of light the night.
Come on.
You took care of yourself and not the community.
Amen.
That's not even about the church. That's about the community. That's about outreach. Why didn't you take that same passion and that same desire to do what's right for yourself and apply it to God's kingdom? That was free. I didn't even have anything about the end in here, but this is the reality of what we're dealing with in the church right now, in the world right now. Everybody's worried about something. Yeah, it's going to happen. But why are we focused on that and not focused on people knowing Jesus?
Amen.
Because it's really easy to watch all the videos in all the world on YouTube and all the reels about how everybody's going to die and how Israel's under attack and how the end has come, but we won't take a second of our day to get into the Word. Why? God has put something on you. God has put a purpose in you. And you need, in order to be able to do it, you need to know it. And in order to know it, you have to work it out. You have to be reading the scriptures. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time praising the Lord. When we come together every week, we come together twice a week, and we praise and worship is going in, and all we're doing is thinking about other things. Instead of getting involved, instead of clapping, instead of raising your hands.
Amen.
That's not what we're here to do. We're here to usher in the kingdom. We're here to praise God and thank Him. And then we're here for instruction on how to do our job out there in the world. Not our secular job, but the calling that God has put on every one of our lives.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. Clinton, it's easy. You're supposed to be reading. You're a pastor. You're supposed to spend time in the Word. You're a pastor.
Amen.
We are all have a ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to bring people to God.
Amen.
I have said it a million times. I am not an address guy in the Bible. I'm just not. I can tell you Bible stories. I spend a bunch of time teaching the kids. But how many of us will take, I'm going to tell on myself. Let me do some generalizations. If you ask a gym guy about the gym, he can tell you the best exercise to work this little muscle right here and just that muscle. He can tell you what you should eat so you can bulk. He can tell you what you should eat so you can cut. Bulking and cutting, these are gym words. Like, so cutting, that's losing weight, right? Yeah, cutting weight, man. You got to cut weight. So them muscles will be defined. Sorry, Mike. Right? Then they'll be like this. They'll be like, you know what? Bodybuilders, right? It's bodybuilders that they get all dehydrated. So they dehydrate themselves purposely. So that they'll have more definition. Won't fast. Won't dedicate time in prayer. But they'll dehydrate themselves to the brink of sickness. So they can look better in a Speedo. If I'm lying, Mike will tell you. So, it's true, right? Car guys will tell you about cars. Kaylee, when she played one of the characters on when we did the Snoopy's Christmas, she knows, was it a Corvette?
Yeah.
And she said it like, brrr, impressive. Like, motor, transmission, rear differential, all that.
Brakes,
everything. Everything. Me, and this is where I'll tell myself, if you want to have a fish tank filled with shrimp, I can tell you the water parameters you need. I can tell you the soil that you want in there. I can tell you what it looks like when those shrimp are pregnant. I know because I have pregnant shrimp at home.
Oh,
huzzah. They're too small to eat. Heather would cook them up for you in an instant, though, I'm sure. But as an aquarium guy, it's a passion that I have. Now, when I've gone too far in talking about aquariums, I can see it in your face because of my training as a salesperson when I've lost the room. So I'll stop. And you know what? Probably when you're giving your testimony, when you're doing what God has called you to do, you'll get that same thing.
Yes.
You'll be like, God will pull that back from you. Yeah. That's the end right there.
Right.
God, tons of times, you know, me and Pastor Ricky will go on a drive, and we don't go as often as we used to. I think it's because I work Saturdays now. But we go out to Vegas every other month, or maybe once a month even. And we would talk about funny stuff and God. And we'd talk about God and funny stuff. We'd listen to some usually Kenneth E. Hagin, and talk about funny stuff, all the while fellowshipping and enjoying each other's company. Not missing an opportunity to learn about Christ and to share about our experiences. Not missing an opportunity to laugh. And that is vital to our call. I've been playing Minecraft with people. Some of them are here in attendance. I'm going to tell you a couple things, okay? I'm going to build this world for you that I've been experiencing in Minecraft. And then I'm going to tell you some Bible stories. No addresses, nothing. Just the Bible stories. Match passion for passion. So we play this Minecraft game. It started when a particular person and I, we were playing a different game, and we got annoyed because we were losing badly, and there was no way that we were going to win. I was grinding means going after the game really hard, to get these last, I only had like two or three more levels, and I would be like, I would have hit level 100, I've got all the prizes, and I would have been like super stoked because I got the skins and everything, and all these new guns. And we were not doing well, okay? And he's like, hey, dude, do you play any other games, man? I'm done. I was like, I don't really play any other games. I mean, I play Assassin's Creed, and I guess I used to play Madden a lot. Sometimes I'll play Minecraft, because I used to play Minecraft just at night, because it's like Legos digitally with calming music, and you go to sleep. It's amazing. And I hear just faintly, you play Minecraft? I was like, I thought I was getting judged, to tell you the truth. I was like, I didn't know if I was going to say yes or no. Yeah, I play Minecraft. So we got off the game where we were getting just destroyed and got on Minecraft. And I showed him a couple cool things. And then we built this little silly city, which wasn't great. And I decided, you know what? Since in order for us to play this game, we have to play together. What if we could play with, like, if you want to jump on, you can jump on and build, and I can jump on, and we could also play together, and we can invite other people to come into this world, and anybody can do whatever they want in the world, and it'll be cool. And so we started one, and we did pretty well, but then I got really, I was like, man, did you know you could create your own world with your, they're called seeds, and it'll do all this cool stuff. And I found a seed, it's called, and there's this ancient, like, it's like an ancient village or something. There's gold and diamonds, all kinds of crazy stuff in there. And it's in the dark and it's scary. Woo, it was pretty cool. And then we found this mansion. And the mansion was cool because there were like, enemies we had to defeat. But there were prizes inside there. And there was this thing called a Vindicator. And he looked like the Dracula. And so we had to kill the Dracula. These are the Vindicator, right? And it was awesome. And then we built this cave underneath that. And it has all kinds of resources in there. And it's so cool because if I'm not playing, he can play. And then he goes and he builds his thing. And he digs into the caves. And then he's like, dude, I found some diamonds. And we're like, yeah, diamonds! That's what it's like, right? That's how I feel about it. It's super awesome. So much fun. And then, so, did you get the passion? Could you kind of see it? So there's this dude, right? There's this dude. He's a little kid. He's a shepherd. He takes care of his dad's sheep, right? And he's really young. He's actually the youngest of all his brothers, and he's like, he's just like this crazy, they called him Rudy. And he can play the harp. And he spends all his time sitting in front of God, out in the open, in the wilderness, just with all his dad's sheep in front of him. Yeah. And he loves being there, and he loves the Lord. And he's actually, did you know he's had to fight a lion and a bear? And he killed them both with his hands. Wow. Both of them with his hands. And one day, this really important guy, like a priest or something like that, he came to his dad's house and he wanted to have dinner, right? But he had an ulterior motive. He went there to anoint the next king. It was pretty sick. Well, this guy who's out in the field, nobody likes him. His brothers hate him, can't really stand him, you know, kind of this know-it-all. Oh, I killed a bear, I killed a lion, right? And so he goes like this. He gets left outside. And the God told the important guy, the priest or whatever he is, he tells him, he goes like this, hey, I'll tell you who it is. I'll tell you who my guy is, right? And the dad was like, dude, I know it's not the guy outside, but these are my best looking boys, right? Because they're good looking. They're taller. They're more handsome. They're debonair. This one wears nice shoes, right? And the important guy, the priest guy, whatever, he goes like this. He's like, hey, is this all your kids? Because the one I'm looking for ain't even here. He's like, yeah, I got another one. He's out back, though. He just takes care of sheep. He ain't nothing you need to see. Bring him in anyways.
Come on. Yeah.
And then that important guy said, this is the guy I've been looking for my whole life. Pours oil on him. Who wants to get oil poured on their head? Not me. I've been in the dirt all day long. In fact, when you called me, Dad, I was sitting out in the dirt. There was some sheep around me, and they were kind of fighting and playing, and so there's dirt in my hair. Don't pour the oil in my hair because, man, dirt and oil don't mix, right? I don't know if he said that, but I can imagine. So skip forward a little while, right? The same dude, he's still taking care of the sheep. He doesn't know that he's the king. He just knows some dude anointed, poured oil on him. Wonder if it was good oil, rancid oil. You know, olive oil, it smells bad when it goes bad. Real bad. But so he's still doing his thing, taking care of the sheep. And then this giant dude, he decides he's going to take on all the armies of Israel. He's like, yo, send me your best warrior. I'll kill him. I don't care. Because he's super big. And he carries a javelin that's really heavy and a sword that's really heavy. And some other dude has to carry a shield. One guy carry one shield because that's all that he could carry because everything else, I mean, it's just all too heavy. So he's out there and he's basically cussing and calling the Israelites just a bunch of chickens. Right? You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so this y'all know by now it's David, right? This David dude, he goes like this, hey, I'll go get him. What? And the king goes like this, he's like, hey, David, you can't do that, man. You're just a kid. And that guy out there, he's been killing kids since he was a kid. Yeah. Not only he'd been killing everybody since he was a kid.
Yeah.
That's his job. Like, that's what he does. He's like, hey, I kill people. That's him. Yeah. And you, the shepherd? Your dad didn't even like you. You're going to go and kill him? Come on now. Yeah, I'll go kill him. Don't worry. What do I get? Oh, you get this, 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 and this. All kinds of cool stuff. You're a rich guy. Woohoo! But, okay, well, I guess if you want to go die, go ahead and go die. But wait, before you go, take my armor. Makes me, now, to come to think of it, side note, did Saul want him to wear his armor so people would think that Saul is who killed him? Ooh, somebody write that down. I'm going to put that into a sermon sometime. Hallelujah. So he goes out there. David, he's like, for one, king, your armor, like, you know, I'm only like 5'4", and you're like 6 foot. I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to fit. So he goes out there, and the Philistine, that's this Goliath guy, that's his name, y'all know that. Goliath, dude, he's like mad about it. He's like, why'd you send this worm to me, or I forget what he called, but basically he's a bug. How insulting is this? If you ever been in a fight, right before, and the guy who comes up to fight you is micro-sized, right? I'll tell you what. Don't let just David's and Goliath's thing to be a lesson to you. But them squirrely little dudes are hard. Be careful. You get lit. Whoop-ow! But I digress. So he's like, yeah, dude, it's me. I'll kill you. And the Philistine's mad about it. He's like, you're sitting out here cursing the Lord who I come to you in.
Yeah.
Then dude's dead. He took a stone, flung it with a slingshot. Can you imagine that? Your helmet is made to take like a huge crash. These helmets are, and his is super big and heavy and thick. It's meant to take a full-on swing from a blade.
Right.
And David killed him with a rock that he could put in a slingshot and huck.
Amen.
Like, I think Reed sent me a thing about the slingshot. They're pretty wicked, but to go through a helmet, and even if it didn't hit the helmet. Maybe it just hit an opening in the helmet. Because God was with him.
Amen.
That's my God. You know the rest of the story, David's the king, so on and so forth, yada, 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 right? There you go. Now, could you see both of them? Were they both intriguing? That's what spending time in the Word does. You can take, and without coming off as some know-it-all Christian, holier than thou, well, the Lord said, in, you can tell the story.
Come on.
But you can't tell the story if you don't know the story.
That's right.
Come on, man.
It's like this one dude from Jerusalem, right? Not even from Jerusalem. Bethlehem. Grew up. One day he went missing at the temple. It was like 12 days or something like that. He was gone. And then all of a sudden he comes up. Parents are mad. They're like, yo, where you been? You were lost. He's like, I was about my father's business. He grew up, and one day he just walking out and he sees some friends, and or not even friends at this time, but he sees some dudes clean their nets. He calls them over. They become disciples of his. People, he's a rabbi, Jesus. He grew up and had a ministry time. He went around healing people. He went around proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He never did anything wrong or hurt anybody. He did turn a table over once. And for being such a good and honest man, they found him in a garden when he was praying. And they took him by force-ish because he laid himself aside. They gave him some sham trial, sentenced him to death. But before he would die, they take him and they brutalize him. They whipped him so hard and for so long you couldn't even recognize who he was. Forgive me for the graphic part of this, but his skin was hanging off of his face and off of his back. He was laid open. And then as if it wasn't enough to be beaten and almost naked, they made him carry his cross.
Yeah.
And he drags this cross as far as he could, but he didn't have the power to go on anymore, so they got some other guy to carry it for him. And when they got to the place where he was going to be crucified, they threw him down on it as if he wasn't already in enough pain. And they drove stakes through his hands and through his feet. And there they hang him on that cross. Now this wasn't great, you know, good lumber, I'm sure. It was probably splintery and nasty. Skin all laying open. While he was dying, the only chance he had at breathing came when he would push himself up on the cross. Just so he can grasp just a little bit of air. He died there. But he didn't stay dead. He raised. But that excruciating pain and the death that he experienced was for you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
He gave himself. I said that he was taken by force, and the fact that they arrested him, the guard arrested him, but he went on his own accord. In fact, he corrected one of his disciples that stood up for him and locked off a guard's ear, and then he healed the guard's ear. Because that man, Jesus, he loved everybody. He loves everybody. And he did that trip. He gave himself because he loves you.
Amen.
He decided before the foundation of time that when this time came, because he's always been, and if he's always been, and if he is God, he's always known that what he was going to have to do had to be done so you can be with him.
Amen.
Amen.
So he did it freely. The pain and the torture, he did it just so that you would accept him.
Amen.
He's not forcing you. Not at all. No. It's your choice.
Amen.
Can you see it? I don't have to quote scripture to share the love of Jesus. Oddly enough, if you know just this much scripture, but you have a huge heart and you'll just show people love, people will come.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Get outside of your comfort zone and invite somebody to church.
Yes.
Invite them to events like Light the Night. Hey, you know, I know that you probably have plans with the kids and you want to go get some big candies. I know that I always enjoyed walking for miles and miles and miles. I was going to say and miles again, but I think it doesn't need to be said. What if I told you that in the little itty-bitty parking lot that you can get a bunch of candy, good candy. We need more candy. You won't have to walk, you'll be able to have fun, and you'll get to see a guy run as fast as he can this way, and then you yank back. Your kids will be happy, you'll be happy, the world will be happy. Maybe we'll take a little bit of the evil from the night that night.
Amen.
Simple as that. That's how we change the world. Can I get that snowy picture again, please, Miss Tiana? It doesn't take being covered in snow to be dedicated to Jesus.
Amen.
There's times where God might call you to be covered in snow. But if we, as a group, just you guys here, if we could show this much of that dedication, not to Spirit Life Church. It's not about Spirit Life. If we could show this much of that dedication to the kingdom,
amen.
To God,
amen.
To our spiritual walk, becoming Bible students, we could change the world.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
We could change the world starting from here.
Yes. Right.
Bullhead City, not here, the church,
right.
But Bullhead City. We can make so much of a difference in our community,
amen.
In our state, in our country, mm-hmm. and in the world.
Amen.
Too many people are trying to be world changers, mm-hmm. but not community changers.
Come on.
It's working backwards.
Yes.
Let's change our community. For Christ and go from there.
Amen.
So I hope you got something from it. I don't know. Are we leaving early? It's normal. A little bit. I'll do a long prayer. I found one in Latin. No, I'm just joking. I'm gonna actually first, if you would all bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want, with that, the gospel message is that of Jesus giving his life for you. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pop your hand up, and I want to pray with you. But if you have, we're good. Alrighty. All right, we're all Christians. Huzzah. Let's pray. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that it's cooling down outside. Father, thank you for the word. Lord God, let us dedicate this to our hearts right now, Lord, that we will become Bible students to further your kingdom, Lord God. That we would be just as passionate about you and your word as we are about the little things we like to do on the side. There's no condemnation for having a hobby, but let us not make hobbies our idols, Lord God, and put them in the place of you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.